I'm Jenny.
And we're playing Doctor!
Just had to fucking do that, didn't you? Right out the gate. That's awesome. Playing Doctor is out. Yeah, just spike the audio all the hell. That's great. Playing Doctor is our weekly Doctor Who themed podcast where we weekly discuss weekly
Doctor Who
episodes on a podcast.
Thanks for summing that up nicely.
Yes, because we watch and discuss every episode of Doctor Who ever. Yee-haw.
This week, we'll be discussing Series 1, Episode 10.
Don't use the goofy voice. Oh my god.
The Doctor Dances. What?
Do the voice.
Do you want me to do the other voice?
No, I don't want you to do any voice. I do the voices.
I can do a voice if I want. It's my show too, damn it. No matter what you think.
All right. Just remember who types up the notes.
Me?
Oh, yeah. And speaking of the Doctor dancing, did you cut out the whole thing.
Okay, I didn't do that.
You did. I had a whole thing with introducing Dennis on this thing, and you cut it out.
Sorry.
So our guest this week, joining us once again...
I'm walking. I'm not sticking around. I need my introduction.
I'm giving you it now.
No, that's not the
He's
one.
He's going to give it to you.
That's not the one my agent agreed to.
I think this one's better.
And I think his dressing room, he had red M&Ms. So joining us again this week, because we were able to find the pictures on the internet and blackmail him into coming back one more week, is our fellow crewmate from the Boner over at Dork Trek podcast.
Dennis Black and Asian!
Hello.
You must like it joining us over here because you don't have to do the notes.
Yeah.
Because you're...
I just sit back, relax, and...
It's like a vacation for you. Just
let somebody else have to read along, and then you get to make
just observe the tension between you guys.
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
It's pretty cool.
It's foreplay.
Yeah. I'm going to stick around a little while longer then. I mean, nothing.
Yeah, that's in the console room.
Right.
That wasn't part of the agreement.
Oh.
You're going to have to pay extra for that.
No. Okay. That's how I got him to get on the show.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was only going to do the one show.
Well,
but then...
I didn't agree to this.
But you have a tiny woman brain. I can trick you.
See, I was going to say, I'll just leave and go get some dinner, and you guys could stay here and play Doctor.
Now, do you really want to make that conversation as uncomfortable as you could potentially make it?
Oh.
Because do you really think I would have a problem
Listen,
with that?
Listen, I know you love the BBC.
I haven't
great programming.
Yeah.
Appropriate for, all ages and...
Well, usually over 18.
Usually.
And I can't disagree. I mean, I love the BBC too, so...
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, what's this episode about?
This episode is about a doctor that dances, right?
Yeah.
No. Because last week we left off on a cliffhanger. Everybody's trapped.
Surrounded by zombies.
Zombie gas mask people, which... They've got some strange plague that rewrites human DNA to give them these gas masks and scars. And everybody's trapped and they're all going to die.
And then the doctor says, go to your room.
I'm very cross with you. Go to your room.
And I love this. All the zombies just kind of go, aww.
Well, the kid, who's off by himself, basically has Nancy cornered in the house that we left her in last week.
Mm-hmm.
Trapped in the dining room, the kid does the hit just like if you were scolding a child. He does the whole little head shift and arms down, very dejected, and walks away. And so do all the others who've been infected, and they all go back to their beds.
Yep, except for the little kid who goes to his room.
Well, which... we find out later is in the hospital.
Yes,
because while the doctor, Rose, and Jack. Gorgeous, gorgeous Jack with those blue eyes.
Can we just talk about Jack for a minute?
We could.
Yes.
Let's talk about Jack.
Now, I am a heterosexual man.
Okay. More or less.
Yes.
More than less.
Yeah, more than less. Like, I can't picture a situation for myself where I would be intimate with another man. But, having said that, Captain Jack... just has this, he's a very handsome man, and I can appreciate handsomeness in a man, but he just has this swagger
about him. This charisma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
magnetic draw.
He's magnificent.
You want to love him.
Yeah. Like, if I woke up and my butt hurt, and he was right next to me, I would be okay with it, I think.
Yeah, but you probably wish that you could remember more of it, right?
Oh, I don't know, but I would be okay with it.
Okay.
As long as he was still there in the morning.
Kinda. You never know with Jack.
Yeah.
You're snuggled up on his chest.
Yeah. No, but he's definitely the kind of character that you want to continually show up in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we get some more Jack later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not enough, in my opinion.
No. No, but then he branched off and went into his own episode, or his own series called Torchwood. Yes. I don't know if you've watched that one yet.
I haven't, not yet.
But it's really good, and it...
It's more adult, right?
Yes. Yeah. Somebody said Torchwood is Doctor Who for grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with that, because I think grown-ups can enjoy Doctor Who.
Yes.
But I think Torchwood is definitely not something you can let your kids watch.
Right.
Is it just more violent, or more sexual, or...
A lot more sexual, a lot more violent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start watching it tonight.
You should, if you can find... Is that that's not on...
I believe it is
I think
Netflix.
It is. I think it is on Netflix, yeah.
Then, by all means, yeah. Because I fully intend that we start reviewing some of the Torchwood episodes. Mm-hmm.
And it starts tying in, like, what, second season of Doctor Who, right?
Yep.
So, maybe we could do a little back and forth or
something. Yeah, we can do that.
Switch it up a little.
Yeah, like Jack does.
Swinging.
Yeah.
Very flexible.
Jack is very flexible. Hey, 51st century men aren't as limited as 21st century men.
Right. That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, most 21st century men.
Right, Ben?
Look, if I met Jack at a bar and he offered, it's like, hey, let's go.
Yeah, so would I.
I love me some Jack. And see, that's the great thing about Jack.
Yeah.
Now, he's the first, I guess they said, first recurring... gay character, or prominent gay character.
I mean, were the actors gay?
Well,
or the character?
Character. Okay. Yeah. On Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I guess there may have been.
They don't really hammer it home that he's gay, though. You know what I mean?
No, he's just homosexual.
Like, he's just really inappropriate with everybody.
With everybody.
Yeah.
And everything, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's where the whole omnisexual is. Mm-hmm. Is that it's? I am not.
I like sex.
You're green and scaly. Hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
Call me.
He's kind of a mixture between William Riker and James Bond.
Because
he's
can
a little more
see
he's
that.
More refined than Riker, but he's still, I mean, James Bond's not going to do a guy. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Would Riker? I kind of wonder.
He almost did.
Really?
Yeah.
I think on our
other
one?
Show that's coming up pretty soon.
Actually. It is.
I'm going to miss this episode. One. I'm going to have to work at Planet Highlander.
We're going to have to work it out before you can be back on there.
Yeah.
Because I'm not digging it. We got Jet Noise and no Jenny. Granted, on the audio track, it does show up the same, where you clip out the top.
Wow. Anyways.
I love you.
Love you too.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to fix that, Ben.
I know. There's going to be hell to pay when you leave. So can you stay with us for a third episode?
I have other engagements.
Oh, okay, so let's get this one started. A lot of horror movie elements in this episode.
Yeah, just like the last one. It's like the way it's shot, the way that, you know, just things kind of randomly start happening, like typewriters type by themselves, and it's very ghosty, you know, poltergeist.
Ghosty, scary, spooky, scary.
Spooky, scary.
Werewolf bar mitzvah?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's in a different episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, that is coming up next year, isn't it?
Yeah, werewolf bar mitzvah episode.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to call that episode.
Yeah.
Will we get sued for that? If we call that episode Werewolf
Are we in any more danger of being sued over that than
the
this
giant
show?
Blue box on our front page?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or the logo?
Any of the above.
Well, maybe if I write Jack a love letter and explain to him that it's only because of my love for him.
Okay. Don't push it.
Then I've done. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of poltergeist in a lot of ways, too. Like, how the kid talks to them through the radio, you know, it's like, I'm here! Yeah.
I can hear you, and
all they needed was that creepy lady from Poltergeist to come and help them, you know, exercise the demons.
Come
this house is clean.
That hospital wasn't clean.
No.
So, Jack, after the doctor sends them away and everything, they have time to sit down and chat, and that's when Jack explains that this was all a con.
Yeah, the whole thing about selling the capsule, which is actually a Chula warship. Or it is a Chula warship, but it's an ambulance.
Yeah, well, there's ambulances in wars.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what his plan was is he put it here where he knew a bomb was going to fall, and then...
He sells it.
Yeah, sells it.
Yeah, if it falls through, then at least gets cleaned up and there's no corruption of the timeline.
Well, no, that's the thing is he doesn't corrupt the timeline because you buy it. He still fixes it so that it gets blown up before you can take possession of it.
I didn't think that was the con. I thought the con was that it's empty. He tells them, it's a Chula warship. Yeah. And they get it. They're like, what the hell? There's nothing
in
here.
It's a piece of junk.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's the thing is they don't know it's con. He sells them the piece of crap. They're happy that they bought the piece of crap, but they don't know it's a piece of crap yet. The bomb hits it. It blows up. It's like, oh, man.
Tough luck.
Yeah, we're in a war zone, and it fucking blew up. Hey, I feel real bad. Let me go buy you a drink.
Because, see, the timing wasn't working out for him then, because when he met Rose, theoretically, she could have bought it from him.
Right then.
Right at that point. And there were still hours to go before it was destroyed.
2 hours, yeah.
They would have had plenty of time to check it out and discover that it was...
Yeah. Well, he might have
figured out... They probably would have left it there, and at least it still would have been destroyed.
Yeah. They might have figured out a way to distract. You know, Jack might have... con them into a three-way or something to distract them. A little three-way dance.
Yeah,
because he likes to dance.
He does like to dance, and...
Yeah, so they go up to investigate the kid's room.
Right, because they wanted... Dr. Constantine in the last episode told them they originally brought the victim to room 802 in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was 804. I'm not sure.
It was 802. I don't know why you keep doing that.
Just to annoy you.
And they... This room has been trashed. It looks like there was an observation room and then the treatment room. And it's behind like a big steel door that Jack
has to... So it's like a quarantine room.
That Jack uses his sonic blaster to cut the lock and they go in.
Now, I did like right here, Rose says, oh, nice blast pattern. And, you know, what kind of gun is that?
It's nice and square. It's
digital. And this is one of the things that I noticed that Rose actually seems to be learning something. And I don't really like her. I think that she's... kind of an idiot. But at this point, she is sort of learning things like, oh, you know, here's this gun and pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, it can destroy things.
Yeah.
It could come in handy.
But she's recognizing things about it and not just like, oh, I like your gun. It's shiny.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha.
Now, in the room, though, that's trashed, they find a recording where Dr. Constantine is talking to the kid while he was still there.
Yeah. Do you know where you are? Or whatever.
Yeah. And are you my mommy? I want my mummy. And there's pictures of child's drawing of mummy all over the wall.
Yeah.
He really wants his mummy.
Very creepy. And that's about this time they're talking and talking and talking, and then they hear this noise.
Yeah. Well, the whole time you keep hearing, I'm here.
Are you my mummy? Mummy.
Can't you see me?
Can you see me?
And while that's going on, though, which you think is on the tape, you keep hearing that ticka 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 tick. And Rose says, what's that sound? And the doctor kind of gets this look on his face, and it's like, that's the end of the tape.
The tape ended 30 seconds ago.
Dun, dun, dun.
But who's talking?
Oh,
Mommy!
I sent the child to his room, and here he is.
In his room.
Oh, shit.
Buggered that one.
And something else I know about Rose, too, is that they're hearing the kid on the tape saying, you know, are you my mommy? Where's my mommy? And she's like, well, why doesn't he know? And I thought that was kind of a good insight. You know, she's like, there's something to this.
Yeah.
You know, why doesn't this kid know
who
his mother is?
So she's smarter than you've been giving her credit for.
I definitely think that she's learning. And like I said, in this episode, I'm giving her credit for some...
Well, it's good.
For some things.
Good to see that you've come around on Rose.
Yeah, because I guess...
I don't know about that.
Traveling with a doctor, it pays to be observant.
Yes.
Because nothing's a coincidence.
Yes.
When something's strange, there's a reason why it's strange.
Yeah.
So
right.
Why is this kid keep saying the same thing over and over? So
especially on episodes written by Stephen Moffat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything means something. Yeah.
So she looked at the script and said, oh, Stephen Moffat wrote this one?
Yeah.
Better pay attention.
Right. Just like in the last episode when she was dangling from the barrage balloon and we didn't really cover it.
Yeah,
she burns her hands.
Yeah.
And he uses the nanogens that are in his ship. There's full of them in his ship. And they're these little nanobot-type things that heal. They're little medical-type heals.
It's kind of patched her right up.
And he said it healed three layers of her skin. Just tickled a little. Mm-hmm. You know, he tied her hands together to do it. They looked like little fairies or something. Yeah, just little glowy things.
Yeah, yeah. What was up with that? He tied.
You got to keep her hands steady so she doesn't. Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or he just wanted.
They're
to
magic
tie her.
Little, you know, nanogens, but if you move your hand, they don't work.
Yeah.
Right. Right. He just.
It's 51st century technology that relies on you being absolutely still.
He's just trying to test to see if she's into being tied up.
Yeah. And is she compliant?
She was.
Light bondage. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's going to push it a little bit further next time. See how far they can
whips
go.
And chains.
The ball gag is necessary.
To make the nanogens work.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But I just have a little scratch on my...
And to make her shut her mouth.
See, there you go. You just can't...
You need a pretty large ball gag, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe that's
she
why...
She has a large mouth.
And maybe that's why her teeth are all kind of jutting out.
There's nothing wrong with her teeth.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just very distinctive.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like Jay Leno's chin.
Exactly.
Jay Leno's chin is atrocious. Rose is very beautiful. And all of you haters would just have to deal with that.
I mean, she could, you know, and eat I will three say, or four hot dogs at one time.
Yep.
And I would pay to see that.
I'm going to go get something to drink. Does anybody want anything out of the kitchen?
Go ahead. We'll continue to talk about how much we don't like Rose.
Or we can continue to talk about the zombies that have now... gone to the little kid's room too, because they have to escape. And I guess they use the.
They figured out by now that they're super strong because the kid broke out of this room and stuff like that. So,
well, they use the blaster to cut through the wall. They get to the other side of the wall, and Jack's able to seal it back.
Yeah, I like that reverse thing on the gun. Like I can blast a hole in the wall and then put it back.
Yeah,
which is kind of handy.
Yeah,
but the kid starts busting through the wall. And each end of the hall, you got the zombie freaks coming with their gas masks. Oh, you're my mummy. So they're trapped. They're all going to die.
Yeah, it's like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except Rose, who's still in learning mode, is now, I guess, in output mode. And
she puts out?
No. She puts out the knowledge that she's acquired.
Yeah.
And uses the gun. Because they're Jack and the doctor are having their whole little sonic debate.
Yeah, they're... You know. You know, using their sonic devices as phallic extensions. Like, mine is bigger than yours.
Well, no, it's just, you know... Well, what was the back and forth about... Yeah.
He's like, I've got a sonic blaster that doubles as a cannon and blah, blah, blah. What have you got?
I got a sonic.
A screwdriver.
A sonic
what? Who would even think to make a sonic screwdriver? Well, it's good for stuff. Putting up cabinets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there have been times that I wish I had a sonic screwdriver, you know?
Now, this may be a spoiler alert, but is there ever an episode that comes up through six series that they put up cabinets with a sonic screwdriver?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
No. I've never seen cabinets put up.
I hope this year.
They'll go to IKEA and get some shelves.
And they'll lose the little tool that comes with
it.
Yeah.
And they'll need the sonic screwdriver.
What's the stuff at IKEA made out of?
Wood?
Sonic doesn't work on wood.
But it works on the metal.
The screws are metal, aren't they?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm just saying the sonic screwdriver, we've established later on that sonic screwdriver doesn't work on wood.
Well, that's because it was a lock that was a wooden bar that goes over the door, wasn't it?
Yeah, but just wooden doors and hinges and anything wooden, it's useless.
Why?
It's rubbish. Same, well, you know, here's the thing. We didn't get that until the light on the, I don't want to go too spoilery, but the light changes.
Okay.
To green, and the Green Lantern has the original Green Lantern in the 40s had no power over wood.
Okay,
that was his weakness.
That makes sense.
No, it doesn't. Just stop.
He had no power over wood.
Yeah, the original Green Lantern, that was his weakness, was wood.
Isn't that
so, which upset his?
I know exactly what you're thinking.
Upset his wife.
That's
greatly.
That's my weakness as well.
Not Jack's. He controls wood
that,
around
that
the world.
That amplifies him.
That's where he gets his power.
Yeah. It's like Samson.
But Rose uses the blaster to shoot a hole in the floor. She's going down, and they drop.
And
now, it's interesting that you said the sonic devices were their phallic extensions, and she has no problem grabbing Jax.
No.
And taking
using
charge
it.
With it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
He's
going down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something she's used to.
Yeah, she definitely
is. Wow.
And he's made it very obvious that he doesn't mind if she grabs his. The doctor, not so sure.
A little warning next time.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice. So, they get to the next floor, but it's the room, they turn on the light, and it's the room full of... the gas mask zombies in bed.
Yes.
So they run. The doctor gets them into a room. Sonic's the door locked.
And they're trapped in the closet.
Yeah. And I...
And again, I don't know the lyrics to
Jack's not trapped in the closet.
No.
Jack comes out of the closet because...
Yeah.
He has no after problem.
After he scolds the doctor, you know, it's like, well, let's get her resources. What are her resources? And Jack is like, I've got a... What was it? The blaster's dead because of all the extra features.
Mm-hmm. Drain the battery.
Drain the battery.
Which kind of sucks.
Well, it's like if you have a smartphone and you got all these apps running and all the extra things running on it.
So is it like an iDevice? You can't change the battery out on these things?
Do you carry a spare battery around?
No, but I could.
He just needs to dock it.
He just needs to charge it.
I totally didn't mean that. I just meant like a docking station.
Yeah, he just needs to charge it. Yeah.
So let's talk about Jack docking.
Yeah. Let's not.
He needs to dock his sonic blaster.
Which is a phallic extension, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now the doctor... This is the doctor docks.
The doctor docks.
The doctor's docking?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what he does.
Okay. Thum, thum, thum.
That's not the sound it makes.
No, that's what that
It meant. Could.
So I had to cut that out. So...
You're just using an excuse to cut out me talking about docking.
Mm-hmm. They, trapped in the room, Jack is gone. They turn around, whoop, he transports back to his ship.
Yeah. And now, the doctor's like, that motherfucker, he left us... Bro!
He calls him back on the radio.
Yeah.
Which is technology from the 51st century that they can...
This is part of the Chula warship, I think, that it can...
Well, he's in a Chula vessel as well.
Yeah, yeah. So he can talk to anything with a speaker.
Yeah, right. What do they call it? Auto-comming or something like that?
Omnicom.
Omnicom? Uh-huh. Is that what they call it? Okay.
So,
which is the same thing that the kid could do.
The kid's doing the same thing. Telephones, radios.
Interesting.
It's all starting to adding up because, like we said earlier, Stephen Moffat episodes, everything means something.
Yeah. Yes. Captain Jack's, you know, he's protesting that I didn't do anything, you know.
Yeah.
This is unrelated to me dropping that ambulance there.
I even made sure it landed in an uninhabited, didn't land on anything living.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It just landed in London.
Yeah, and it was empty, so, I mean, what could it have done?
So we're good.
Yeah. But this is the doctor saying, maybe not.
Maybe it's starting to come together.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, technically, he was right. Like, he didn't actually do it, but what he did set the whole chain of events in motion. So, I mean...
Yeah, but here, the guy in the horror movie who opens the vial of the plague that infects the whole world, even if he doesn't know what's in it.
The mummy.
Well, isn't it
the archaeologist releases the mummy.
So isn't it the archaeologist's fault? I say yes.
It's man's folly.
So now that Rose and the doctor are in the room, though.
And the kid can hear them talking, so.
Yeah.
This is when they get the
Well, I mean,
creepy.
And also, didn't Captain Jack play some music for him?
Yeah.
While he was working on reconfiguring everything or removing some security protocols.
Because, he used an emergency transport to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't do it with them because he's got the nav device on. Or there's some kind of... He has to reconfigure it except for his DNA.
Something.
Yeah. So while they're in there, the doctor and Rose have a chance to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the whole dancing thing comes on.
Yeah, because Rose says, like, oh, you're the same as Jack. Because, you know, or except for the whole dating and dancing thing.
Right.
And the doctor just really doesn't trust him. And, you know, is it because he's a con man? Is it because... You know, maybe he's starting to have some feelings for Rose.
I think the doctor's jealous.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
There's another cock on the block.
Yeah. He's getting some jealousy, you know, because...
Well, and also, he wants Jack's attention, too.
Yeah, maybe.
No. Yeah. Well, most men, yeah. But I'm thinking the doctor has started bonding with Rose, and even if there's nothing sexual between them, that's his companion.
Right.
And now she's paying attention to somebody else who has all these neat little sonic devices.
Yeah. Because I guess, what was that kid's name? Adam?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really have a problem with her hanging out with Adam because, I mean, he was above average.
He was not threatened by Adam.
Yeah, Adam doesn't have a TARDIS.
But she even said in the Father's Day episode something about, like, oh, you're just getting upset because you're not the only man in my life anymore.
Right.
And I think that was, you know, that was just the last episode. So now it's kind of coming back again, like, here's another man in my life and
he's
taking attention.
Again. So maybe he's starting to catch a feeling for her.
Maybe.
Now, the whole thing about dancing, though.
Yeah.
Moffat has said later.
Dancing.
Yeah, and Davies has said later that, yes, dancing, there's a lot of innuendo where dancing is actually sex.
Mm-hmm.
In their discussion.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you do dance? Oh, yeah, I dance. 900 years old, of course I've danced.
Show me your moves.
Yeah.
Baby.
So just as they start to dance, they're on Jack's ship.
Rose and Jack dance together. Did they dance together or did they just dance together?
They just danced. It was an innuendo city at that point.
Hmm.
Or maybe everybody's dancing.
I don't know.
Everybody dances with
They were
everybody.
Dancing in the streets.
So...
crazy times in wartime.
Now, when Jack interrupts them, though...
So they do a little musical? All the little orphan children do a musical? What was it, though, the
when they get him on... He gets him on the ship. That's Jack, they say, on. Oh, we were just dancing. Uh-huh. And Jack says... Didn't
look like dancing.
And then that's when Rose says...
Didn't feel like dancing either.
Okay, so if dancing is innuendo for sex, what the hell was going on?
Wrong hole.
Maybe
wrong ho 2012.
Maybe he was
That's
having
my new political candidate.
Maybe he was having trouble getting it up.
I
was trying to think of an allegory for it, but it wasn't coming together.
I don't.
Didn't feel like it.
Well, see, I didn't. I personally didn't get the whole sexual
overtone
in this. Like before you said it, I just thought it was dancing, honestly, and I thought she was kind of slamming him like, "You suck at dancing."
Yeah.
You know, he was bragging about, oh, I've got moves. I've been doing, I'm 900 years old. Of course I know how to dance.
Right.
And she's saying, you know, you're really rusty. You
well, see, they do bring it up again later, though, when they're talking, when they're trying to distract the guard at the military camp.
Right.
And the doctor says something about dancing, about how Jack is flexible with dancing, you know, and she's like, wait, how flexible? And the guy, you know, Jack goes over to flirt with this guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because
That was obvious that he was using dancing as a euphemism for.
Well, they were going to distract the guard, and Rose says, "Oh, I guess it's up to me to distract the guard." And Jack's like,
"He's not your type.
Yeah,
or you're not his type.
You're not his type. Let me go distract the guard."
Yeah.
Oh.
And see, you know, I never really thought about it this way either until we're analyzing it for the show and everything. And now I look at it and I think, well, how did I not see it? Because, you know, they're doing that earlier and it's like, obviously they're still referencing the same metaphor that they were doing earlier with the whole dancing thing. So, I mean, I just never really
put it together
until you said like, oh, it's a metaphor. And I was like, duh. Okay.
Yeah. They speak in metaphor on this planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jack, when the dancing was right. Jack, when the dancing was hot. Jack and the doctor dancing in the TARDIS.
Doctor, when my pants fell.
Which could be the episode title, I think. Doctor, when my pants fell.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. And I couldn't think of any good metaphors.
Doctor and Jack on the dance floor.
Dr. Rose,
no,
floor.
Rose, her face red, her eyes shut.
Her fist closed.
Doctor, when his pants fell.
Jack's fist
This is
closed.
Referring, I mean, because this is a Doctor Who podcast, so maybe people don't watch Star Trek The Next Generation. This is obviously making fun of a TNG episode that we recently reviewed on Dork Trek podcast.
Which is what happens when we get Star Trek people on.
Yeah, this is twice now we've had Star Trek people on, so.
And we have all the crossover. Actually, three times, because Daryl's, he kind of counts.
Yeah, but he doesn't do a podcast.
He doesn't do a podcast.
Greg is on
Star
Trek
obviously,
podcast. And so now
famous
Dennis,
Trek podcaster.
Yes. So yes. Now let's talk about Nancy for a minute.
Okay.
With her whole maternal instinct.
Yeah.
And her going back to the house, because the air raid's still going on. So she's like, look, I didn't get enough supplies. I got to go back in there and help these kids. Got to get some more supplies.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes back, and so this is the third time she's back.
Because
she was there, found the food, called the kids. Then she goes back, and Jamie, her little brother, almost catches her.
Now, this is the same time. He gets away.
Oh,
when
and
he leaves, and she's
leaves,
still there.
She's still there, and that's when she gets busted.
Yeah. Yes. And it was funny because the little kid comes into the house with the gas mask on, and she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I thought you left. I thought you left.
But no, it was just the family coming back in after the air raid's over.
Yeah.
And she gets caught by the the big sweaty guy.
The dad.
Yeah. And I love this scene. Yeah. I love this scene because she just owned the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah. Because he's like, oh, I've already called the cops and, you know, you got caught stealing and, you know, they'll be taking you away, blah, blah, blah.
Anything else I can help you to?
And she's like, yeah, I could use another... I didn't get a chance to look through the cupboard too well, so let me get another look at that. And if you got any tools...
Wire cutter. Yeah.
I know you have some tools. Give me some wire cutters.
And he's like, what the... Bitch, you better...
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was...
Bitch, you be crazy.
He started thinking, yeah, you're kind of crazy now.
But this is like, I think maybe it was the last episode when we were talking about it, where she's obviously been casing... All the whole area, yeah. And knows who has all the
food. Well, even though for the kids mentioned, though, that, you know, when they got there, it's like, what the heck's going on, you know?
Yeah, they said something about it being black market food.
Yeah, and so, she's like, oh, you don't talk bad about people's, you know, in their house when you're eating it.
We're guessing this house, and yeah. I was like, well, that's...
Unless they threaten to put you in jail.
Yeah.
Well, then you got to pull out the big guns, because she's like, you know, when the cops get here, maybe they're going to wonder why you got so much food.
Yeah.
And a lot
of butcher's
people,
giving you all this meat, you must be giving him your meat.
Well, that was the thing. It's like, you know, everybody up and down the streets thinking that the missus must be, you know, having an affair with the butcher. But we know it's actually... Because he's going on... Well, I love it, though, how he's going
on. Oh, there's that sweat on your brow.
Yeah.
I earned this food with a sweat on my brow. I earned this food with
a
sweat on my brow.
Yeah, he was sweating, all right.
He didn't lie.
Yeah. So she's able to get what she needs. And just,
I don't want to imagine that.
No, because you know they're both just big, fat, sweaty.
Yeah, I don't think Captain Jack would hit that.
No.
Mm-mm. Not even Captain Jack.
I don't know.
I don't think so. He'd have to be pretty hammered.
Yeah. Or, stuck in a time vortex for 30 or 40 years and, you know.
I mean, maybe if he needed to gain some advantage, like if...
I don't know.
If he was hungry, needed a turkey leg.
Yes, then he might do it. If that was the only way out of this current situation, he might do it. But he would be like,
ugh. How was that? I don't even know that move.
I bleach.
So,
yeah.
They,
he does that too.
So, but
I need you to talk to my wife. How do you? She doesn't know that one yet.
So,
Ben likes that one.
So, talking about Nancy and her motherly instincts instead of this prawn that you guys have gotten onto. I'm not even looking at any of you.
Nancy knows that too.
She's, you know, even as she's leaving to find out what killed her little brother, she
stops by to
take care of the kids.
Drops off
make
the food.
Make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she tells them, hey, don't stay in one house every night because I guess they don't want to get caught.
Right.
Sent back to the kid touchers at the farm.
And when she goes to try to sneak into the thing, she gets caught.
Yeah.
Yay.
And they lock her up next to a guy who's about to transform.
She can already see the scar on the guy's head. And she's like, look, lock me up. That's fine. Just not here.
Yeah.
Whatever. Shut your mouth, kid.
Yeah, the guy changes, and we find out later, is able to sing him to sleep. Mm-hmm. So she's got this whole mother instinct going on. Mm-hmm. She's like the little mother hen for this whole...
I mean, she kind of... Yeah, she was the mother for all these plucky little orphan
She was
kind of
like what Peter Pan wanted Wendy to be.
Right.
So this was like Peter Pan without Wendy. That was the Lost Boys.
Yeah, the Lost Boys.
And so...
Where's Rufio? Rufio!
That was Captain Jack.
Captain Jack is Rufio. But talking about Captain Jack, the Doctor and Rose are on his ship, and they find out some more about his history. That he used to be a time agent. And that now he's kind of gone renegade or whatever because they stole 2 years of his memory.
Yeah, and they never really bring this up again.
Yeah,
this is like I guess the producers, the writers, or whatever said, yeah, we just forgot. Sorry.
Whoops.
There's a lot of mysteries in his life, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he just.
But that was the thing, you know, this was the whole thing. This was like his driving thing. And it's like I was saying, you know, he's a bad boy with a history. And, you know, chicks love the bad boy. Yeah. And that makes him all, woo, we want, you know, woo. And he's damaged. Oh, he's missing 2 years of his memory.
He's like Wolverine.
And he's sexy.
Yeah, he's like Wolverine. That's a great analogy because Wolverine sexy man, the bad boy, and he's got the forgotten history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and that was the thing is he's telling Rose, hey, the doctor doesn't trust me. And for all I know, he's got every right not to because,
Yeah, it makes you wonder if the doctor's ever run into him before.
I think the doctor would have said something.
I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Because obviously he didn't recognize the doctor when he met him, so that's kind of a clue that there's something funky going on. So maybe the doctor knew him from a previous encounter, and because he obviously doesn't meet people in sequential order in their life all the time.
Right.
So...
Well, yeah. It'd be nice if maybe a later doctor meets a younger Jack.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
And we fill in those 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dear Stephen Moffat. Is he still writing for the show?
Yeah.
Is he still a head writer?
Okay. Yeah. He's still the boss.
All right. Write him a letter. Tell him to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit right down and write you a letter. Yeah, anyway.
Because Matt Smith can do it.
Yeah, but we don't talk about future doctors on the past.
Yeah. Well, can't I mean, cross Matt Smith could be anybody. He could be a writer.
He could be.
Somebody. Maybe.
Listen to our Monday episodes.
Another doctor.
See, Thursdays are spoiler-free, but Mondays...
Oh, sorry.
We talk about all kinds of stuff.
Spoilers!
Just edit that out of this one and put it into a Thursday one.
A Monday one. This is a Thursday one.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Jax continually said, though, that that Shula ambulance was empty. There's nothing it could happen. When Jack and the doctor and Rose finally get to the base and the guard changes.
Yeah, so we get to see somebody transform again.
Yeah. Cool. It makes this horrible sound. And then we find out from Jack what I wasn't really thinking about. When they change, that gas mask is actually bone and flesh.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's all produced from your body.
Yeah, because...
So your body makes a gas mask and a scar.
That's really kind of...
Yeah, well, it changes your face, your skull or whatever into that gas mask. Yeah, and also compresses your skull and
crushes your chest.
Yeah, exactly.
It gives you the exact wounds that the kid had.
Yeah.
Creepy.
It makes you wonder, though, like, because the doctor, Dr. Constantine and this other dude... both had the scars on their hands before they fully changed.
Uh-huh.
So not all these injuries happen at the same time. It kind of progressively happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point do they get the chest trauma?
Well, I think that's
trauma?
Why Dr. Constantine last episode was limping around so bad and seemed to be in such bad shape is because he was getting toward the end there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking a scratch on the hand is going to be the easiest thing to... that's going to be the easiest thing for it to make.
Mm-hmm.
And then it builds up to the crushed chest.
So I would guess the head trauma would be the last one because that's what he thought killed all
those
people.
Right.
Yeah. It's the most obvious one.
Yeah.
So, now we get to the Shula ambulance device finally.
And Jack opens it, but it sets off the signal that...
is now going to draw all of them to there.
Brings all the zombies.
So the doctor has Rose and the girl and Nancy... use the 2784D setting on the sonic screwdriver can actually repair cut wire.
Yeah.
How does it do this?
It's a sonic screwdriver.
I know it's magic.
No, any technology sufficiently advanced enough will be confused by magic by people with tiny brains. So it's not magic. It's technology.
It's like transmutation. It rearranges the atomic structure.
Okay. See, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All sonically, this jibber jabber.
It does it sonically, though.
Okay. All this jibber jabber.
Sound is really nothing but vibrations in the air. Mm-hmm. So it's just moving subatomically the particles.
I would think you would know all about sonic devices.
I think I do.
I'm sure you do.
Sonic blast.
Does yours light up blue?
No, it's purple.
Okay, then.
Sonic finger blaster.
So, though, while Rose and Nancy are sealing up the cut barbed wire,
they get the...
The doctor and Jack are discussing the Shula ambulance.
Yeah. He's like, what did you think was going to have bandages in it?
Yeah. So, it's got nanogens.
Yeah. Which the doctor saw when he went on the ship.
When he went on the ship, it fixes the hand that he burned on the... No, he does that here. He saw the nanogens on...
No, it was on Jack's ship.
It was on Jack's ship.
Yeah, they were talking about her burned hands, and that's when he realizes the nanogens, and he starts putting it together, which we should have done since the beginning of last episode when we first saw him used. It's an ambulance. It's going to have these things in it. But the nanogens never saw a human before, which, another Star Trek connection, if you ever saw the very first unaired pilot,
The Cage,
or The Menagerie, when they mm-hmm. re-edited it as a two-parter on the original series of Star Trek, the aliens that found the survivor never saw a human, so they just kind of put her back together. So she's healthy, she's alive, but she's all deformed and mangled because they don't know what a human looks like.
Right.
Same thing happens here. These little nanogens are like, oh, we're supposed to protect and keep you alive. They do that to the little boy, but he's damaged. He's got a gas mask. He's got the head trauma. So they're like, oh, that's what humans are. Fix it.
Yeah.
And that's the DNA being repaired by an idiot.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if
it's pretty idiotic, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, bring it back to life, and then...
And so now they're fixing all the humans.
But if the doctor had touched the child or one of these other infected people, would he have changed because he's not human?
So I think so, because they're, everything that doesn't match Jamie on Earth has to change to match
Jamie. No, but Jamie had enough human DNA left that he still looked human to the nanogens. But, you know, if they encounter the doctor, they're going to say, oh, this is different. This is Time Lord DNA.
Well, I mean, you think about it, though. Jack's ship... His Chula ship is calibrated to his DNA. Yes. So when it fixed Rose, and when it fixed the doctor, it's basing it on Jack's DNA.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's not looking at Rose and saying, okay, I need to give her, you know, two X chromosomes in every, you know.
Right.
Right.
It's basically giving her his cells, rewriting her burnt cells with his not burnt cells.
Okay.
I would guess that would be a theoretical thing.
I would think it would look at her and then, like, fill in the missing information. Like, it has enough with her that it can fill in.
Yeah, it's been programmed for what humans are.
Right.
The ones on Jack's ship.
So when it got to the doctor, though, then it would have given him human.
It would have tried to make him human.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it knows what Gallifreyans are. His are programmed better.
And again, what I was saying is maybe it was looking at the doctor and it said, okay, here's all of this DNA. It's not damaged so badly that we can't fix this little burn on your hand or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then here's this kid. And this is a totally different set of nanogens, right? I mean, these are on his ship versus the ones that are outside.
Right.
So
the ones that are outside don't.
They don't have any contact with humans. Yeah. So they find the first human and they say, okay, here's this person and here's the DNA. You know, if they had come across Rose, then she would have changed.
She would have been the template.
Right.
Yeah. And then,
or if they come across,
then she would be a healthy human and then they could have fixed all the unhealthy.
Right. But what I'm saying is she would have changed into the gas mask kid, but I don't think that the doctor would, because it would have said, oh, here's Time Lord.
That's different. He's as different from us as we are from a monkey.
Right. So, I mean, it's not going to make us into apes.
Right. It's not going to change the apes into Jamie.
Right. So.
So maybe he would have been okay. But either way, though, now we know what these things are and what's going on. And we find out the very touching thing that, oh, are you my mummy? Yes, you are. It's Nancy. Nancy's the mummy.
Nancy, you are the mother.
She's just... younger. She looks younger than she actually is.
Yeah. And she plays it younger than she actually is. And so she's always pretended that Jamie
was... help you out if you're on the streets.
Yeah, and she's playing like Jamie's her little brother instead of her son.
Because it would have been tough to be a single teenage mother in 1941.
Yeah. Well, in the 30s when she had him, too. I mean, you know, that would have been like scandal.
Yeah, because she would have been like, 15?
That's probably why she was on the streets in the first place.
Could be.
It very well could be.
I mean, they weren't very popular, the whole single mom thing. Mm-hmm. But now, though, that the nanogens have, when she finally, you know, you're my son, and hugs him, I'm your mummy, which is very touching.
Yeah. It was
kind of mushy. But now the nanogens are able to kick in and go, oh.
That's what humans look like.
That's the mummy.
Yeah, so now they can compare his DNA to hers and pick up that. That's why the whole are you my mummy thing, it was looking for a better DNA source.
Oh, okay.
Now it goes, okay, this is a healthy human. Let me fix everything.
Yeah.
I wish it would have turned him into another copy of her and all the other people turn into other copies of her.
That would have been kind
of
cool.
That's not how it works.
That would have been another problem to figure out.
Oh, yeah.
So, though, we... fixes everybody, and the doctor has his little moment with Dr. Constantine, always at his post. The constant doctor.
Yeah. Just tell everybody you're a really good doctor and you fix them. Okay.
Which gave me... I love the scene, though, when the old lady comes hobbling up to him and says that...
But I only had one leg.
I came into the hospital and I only had one leg.
You got better.
Yeah. He's like, well, you know, there is a war going on. You might have miscounted.
Yeah.
And she's like... Okay.
Seems legit.
She's old. You can tell them anything.
Never mind that they've probably been oblivious this whole time that they had those gas masks on their face. So now you're standing in the middle of a field?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in the hospital. Now I'm in a field with two legs.
Yeah.
Which one is the bigger question?
Yeah. It was all a dream.
So, but, doctor's all excited because everybody lives today.
And he was almost giddy in this scene. Like,
he was definitely.
Hell just, yeah!
But, I mean, that could be... We look at the past, there's been a lot of death on the show. Even though they don't really emphasize it that much. But people always seem to die around the doctor, and this is the first time that nobody dies.
Yeah, he was really excited. Everybody lived. And you know, I think that this whole story, and this scene in particular, he really seems to have finally settled into his role as the doctor. Like, he's kind of, you know... The character was kind of going back and forth a little bit here and there, and then right here, this is it. This is who I am.
Yeah.
This is who this doctor is.
Of course, he's hyper-focused on the situation that's going on, because while this is happening, London's being bombed by the Germans.
Right.
So not everybody lives.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. How far did the Nanogens go?
Well, yeah, that would have been
It could have been like, you know, until they burned out. Maybe that's why Britain survived as long as they did.
Because they did go airborne, so...
Mm-hmm.
That
when did it jump the channel?
When do they expire?
I don't know.
See,
do they have battery life? Are they solar powered? I mean,
yeah, they eventually have to die off. But now that that's all taken care of, everybody lives. No, you forgot one thing: the bomb that was supposed to hit it.
It's
Captain Jack catches it.
Yeah!
Yay! Little cocky when he says goodbye to everybody because he rides the rocket down in the tractor beam.
Yeah
got it in stasis. Take this. Good luck, guys. See you later.
Yeah.
And zips off. And comes back. Oh, yeah.
It's like Major Kong.
T-shirt's good. Liking it. You rock that shirt, girl. Mm-hmm. And then leaves.
Yeehaw!
Yeah. So when we cut away to Jack, he's flown off, away from Earth. And the computer says, yeah, you've got 3 minutes to live, and...
No escape pods.
No escape pods.
Can't beam it off.
Sorry.
If you beam it off, it'll set it off, so you're screwed, you're gonna die. Mm-hmm.
So he orders a drink.
Yeah, gets a hyper martini, and is like,
That's kind of my kind of plan right there.
Yeah. That's a good emergency protocol to have. That is a Riker protocol.
Yes.
That would be a Riker rule.
He can face his death, and just is like, oh, well, hey.
He does it snively, and... Last time I got sentenced to death, I ordered 4 hyper vodkas and end up in bed with my executioners.
Yeah.
Again, very
They're still together. they're still together and keep in touch.
Yeah.
And I thought
it's probably because
of
him.
Oh, yeah. He got them together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then while he's sitting there, he hears Moonlight Serenade.
Yeah, it's the recurring song.
And the camera pulls back and keeps pulling back as it goes into the TARDIS, because apparently they landed the TARDIS in the back of Jack's ship.
Because why not? Because he can land that bitch anywhere.
He's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
A lot better than the classic series.
It's like Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
like a glove!
I wish he said that every time he parked it.
That would be great.
Maybe the next Doctor.
Maybe.
And then like to see him crash it one time and then still do the...
Yeah, stumble
like
out.
A glove. Yeah. Don't give us that disapproving
that
stare.
That would be awesome. You know, one thing about Moonlight Serenade, though, since you mentioned it, I think I would like to see Glenn Miller's will.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's probably something in there that song has to be played in every period piece.
Yes.
That is in
I think that's
World War
II. Only thing that we know from that era.
Yeah. It's like...
And plus,
or
though,
In the Mood, which they also play.
Yeah.
He loved the Brits.
Yeah.
And the Brits loved him, because he came over to do USO shows and everything.
Yeah.
He actually died
over
the English Channel.
Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah. And...
He's in the U.S. Air
Force. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and
it's a very iconic song, you know?
Yeah.
Because you every single movie has that's used, in World War II plays that
maybe
song.
It's a rights thing.
I mean, is it iconic because it's in every movie, or is it in every movie because it's iconic? Chicken or the egg?
Nobody here but us chickens.
It's like if there was a movie about 2012, would it have Call Me Maybe?
No, but if every movie about early 21st
Somebody
century
that
Earth
I used to know.
Had Call Me Maybe, in 50 years, if they start putting that in,
some
producer is going to look at it and go, oh, yeah, it was a hot song back in the 2010s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that becomes the signature song.
I'm hoping for Lady Gaga, because that would be cool.
Maybe, yeah.
I'd rather be remembered for Love Game.
Bad Romance.
Yeah, that one's good, too.
Yeah. I really don't know a whole lot of Lady Gaga songs. I know that one in Poker Face, and that's about it, I think.
Doctored like a poker face.
Wow.
Yes. Wow, I know.
That's a Captain Jack move.
Yeah. So they save
Jack.
Save Jack, and
they dance.
The doctor remembers how to dance when in the mood comes on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I noticed that Jack tries to cut in.
Well, Rose tries to get Jack to cut in.
Yeah.
And or says, join. Jack would like to, you know.
Three-way dance.
Join, and the doctor's like, yeah, but who would he dance with? You know, the whole, ha, 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 let's make a joke about the gay.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a joke.
It's a legitimate question, though.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see later. He, I don't want to give spoilers away, but.
Yeah. Don't give away spoilers.
You have to cut another chunk of the show out like I did last week. So, this was a good episode, like you said. He's kind of...
Yeah.
The doctor's the doctor. We've met Jack.
So and Rose is actually gaining some intelligence.
Yeah. You like her.
No, I don't. I don't like her. I just dislike her less.
You definitely like her.
No.
So, once again... Let's ask Dennis, what did you think of the episode?
I like it. It's good to see the doctor, like, really happy that things worked out okay, because they don't always work out okay.
Right.
He always seems to have, like, kind of a...
I could have done more.
Well, yeah, exactly. And always, every time there's that small failure, it reminds him of his past, the time war and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it always
the
seems to
failures.
Be in the background. So now he sees, okay, I did something. And there's no problems with it. Every loose end has been tied.
He definitely has a major hard-on for England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I always
wonder. As the German war machine spread across England, across Europe, one tiny damp island said no. Yeah.
Well, they're the metaphor for humankind.
Yeah.
Because he expands that British metaphor to human metaphor. Yeah. In other episodes, you know, you guys just go out there. You just go, blah, 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 blah.
And do a lot of dancing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do.
A lot of dancing.
I kind of wonder, would the doctor ever come back as a different nationality than British?
I don't think so.
But he could.
He could, but he won't.
Like, he'd come back and be Chinese.
I think the producers have already said that there's something very iconic about the doctor being English. He's in the
DNA. It's
like
James Bond.
Yeah.
He's in the DNA of England.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is the epitome of British sci-fi is the Doctor. James Kirk will always be that Iowa farm boy, you know.
You've got to bring it back to Star Trek, don't you?
Yeah. My two loves, Doctor Who and Star Trek.
Wow.
That's, for science fiction, that was it for me growing up.
Doctor Star Who Trek.
No. I
thought that was a diss.
No, all the Jack comments were disses. Since you had to bring it up.
This has gotten uncomfortable.
See, you tried to make me uncomfortable, and you know, it takes two to tango.
So we're talking about dancing again?
Could be.
All right, I need
Can
to
we
leave.
Dance later?
I need to leave if you guys are going to dance.
Okay.
So I can put the ladder up against the window. And
yeah. I always thought that was one of the weeping angels, but that's something, I guess it was you out there.
Shh. Yeah.
Spoilers. Don't blink.
Yeah.
We just need, you know, the Dork Trek game.
I won't blink.
In the background.
I wasn't looking.
So, thanks for joining us again, Dennis.
Yes,
2 weeks
you.
In a row.
Yeah, it was
taking
great.
Time out of his day to come over here. It was great.
Yes.
I had a lot of fun.
Good.
And do you want to tell folks, once again, where they can find you online?
Go to your Google machines.
Mm-hmm.
Type in Dork Trek, either one word or two,
and you will find your way to me. You will find me!
That's a dork
through
trick.
The time vortex!
To the 23rd and 24th century?
Yeah. Or on the Twitter machines, you can do @dorktrek, all one word, and I will show up as a search result.
Okay.
I would like to see some more Star Trek and Doctor Who
now,
crossover.
Something in the notes, though, is asking about your... We could also find you on your Plenty of Fish profile, and that you are the Hampton Roads Boat Race Champion for 3 years in a row now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
An inaugural member of the Boat Racing Society of the Greater Hampton Roads area.
Okay.
Nice.
That's good.
Do you have a boat racing league?
We're working on it. We're growing our membership currently. So it involves a lot of rest stops, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Also, I'd like to thank our good friend, and a couple of weeks ago was a guest on the show, Daryl Lewis.
FlyingMonkeyMotoGear.com.
Oh, you just had to say it. This to steal my thunder.
Yes.
But he did our awesome theme song.
Which is very nice.
I love our theme song. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I actually listen to it separate sometimes. It's why it takes me so long to edit the show sometimes.
Yeah, he does. He can't just skip that part. He has to go right back to it.
Yeah.
Do you dance?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You dance by yourself when you listen to it?
Sometimes. I'll say it, yeah.
Does the Carlton dance?
And this show is Thursday, the 20th of September. And that means tomorrow we'll be on our way to Intervention.
Intervention. Lost track of time.
Yeah. Internet plus convention equals intervention. You can get more details at interventioncon.com. It's not too late if you're listening to this on Thursday to get to Rockville, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Hilton, Washington, D.C. in Rockville, Maryland.
Yes.
Which is near Bethesda. It's all like kind of close. The whole D.C. metro area is all...
same. It's all the same shit.
Yeah. But if you can get there, go to interventioncon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get all the details about it. I'm going to be there promoting my comic this weekend, and also we'll be promoting the show. I guess if you're a Dork Trek fan, a Playing Doctor fan, or a Reality Amok fan, come by and talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be at my table.
And I'll be around somewhere.
Yeah.
Probably at panels or...
I want to send you out, and since you can get away from the table and, like, spy and hear if there's any other Doctor Who...
You want me to go spy on people?
Yeah, you can do
covert ops. I need to stalk people. I'm the official... Reality Amok stalker now.
Well, you were my stalker for quite a while online, so that does work. Obviously, you have the skills necessary.
Fine, I'll do it.
Good.
For the show. All right.
Maybe we can infiltrate some other podcast panels. Show how it's really done.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Infiltration.
I have a question.
Why do you do it wrong?
Why does your show suck?
Why isn't it good like Dork Trek and Playing Doctor?
Yeah. You guys aren't funny. Gosh.
We're a libertarian podcast. We talk about politics for 2 hours.
That wouldn't be at Intervention. That's down the street.
There's zombies there.
Boring hotel. Yes, zombies.
Keeping in theme with this episode and the last episode, there will be zombies. So,
yeah, there's like a zombie game that runs
LARP.
Through the
That's
convention.
My favorite thing.
LARP.
I love that.
LARP. Yeah. You either choose a team. You get to start as a human or as a zombie, and then you run around the halls, and if you see somebody else with one of these armbands or headbands on, depending on where you wear it, is whether you're human or a zombie, and if a zombie taps you on the shoulder, you play rock, paper, scissors.
To see if you're infected or survive.
Yeah, and if the zombie wins, then you become a zombie, and you have to change where your headband is or whatever. If you win or if it's a draw, you survive.
Yeah.
And it's kind of this whole little game, and they do other little... games along with it where you can try to win like power-ups or something, and like you can become a human again, or you can
also
get out of jail free card or something like that.
Also, there's gonna be a lot of people who do web comics there.
Mm-hmm.
There's gonna be a lot of podcasters there. There's a hell of a party all weekend.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this thing runs 20 from Friday at noon until Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-stop party.
Yep.
It's a great time. She has a game room. She has stuff for kids there.
They have dance parties.
We say she, but this is Onizumi.
Yeah.
Our friend on the internets.
Well, who she organizes.
She and James put this together, and she has a great staff, and I'm telling everybody I can about it.
Yeah, it's a good time.
So, in the meantime, though, since intervention is your online life in person, you can get more of our online life by going to playingdoctorpodcast.com.
Yes, or check us out on Facebook.
Facebook.com/playingdoctor.
I thought that would be obvious.
Yeah, well, still.
Okay.
You can go to the Twitter and get @playingdoctors. Because we had to add an S because somebody's using the other one.
I'm gonna stalk them and take their name.
You should. Maybe we can hack their account. They won't notice. Google Plus, gplus.to/playingdoctor.
Mm-hmm.
Or just go to Google Plus and search Playing Doctor.
Yeah, which I think is easier.
We're on iTunes. You can either search for Playing Doctor Podcast on iTunes or follow the link on our page.
Yes.
We have an RSS feed on the page. You can subscribe to our iTunes. And if you do subscribe on iTunes, make sure you leave a comment or at least give a rating.
Yes, that would be very nice.
You know, that way we can share this
with
you. Don't cost
you nothing.
No, just a little time. Just click and you're done. You can find me on Twitter @RealityAmuck.
And I'm on Twitter @Jenny_Z.
So, all right, let's get out of here. TARDIS is here. Let's take off.
Okay. Bye-bye.